Hello, you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24. I'm Tom Edwards, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we take a trip to a place where dinosaurs once roamed. Not back in time, but to Drumhella, a small town of about 8,000 people in central Alberta. Every year, hundreds of thousands of visitors flock from all across the globe to learn about fossils that are millions of years old. And at the centre of it all is the Royal Tyrrell Museum, Canada's only museum dedicated to the science of paleontology. Our contributing editor, Sheena Roster, takes us on a journey through the grounds.
Making your way into the Alberta Badlands makes you feel like you've arrived in a scene from Jurassic Park. After driving by flat canola fields and cattle farms for hours, the landscape takes a sharp shift when a huge chunk of beige rock with layers of different sediment stacked on top of one another, telling a geological story through time, and then all of a sudden jutting out of the Canadian prairies out of nowhere. It's a desert in the middle of one of the coldest countries on Earth, and it's fascinating. It's truly a breathtaking sight out here in the Hoodoo Valley, just outside the city of Drumhella. With all these badlands, you just see this huge sediment of layered rock that just rises out of the deep prairies here in Alberta. It's truly amazing that this is once where the dinosaurs roamed. But inside the walls of the Royal Tyrrell Museum is where the dinosaur magic really begins to unfold. Cameron White is a security supervisor for the Royal Tyrrell Museum, and he's worked here for 15 years. He explains why building the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Drumhella is a dream for any paleontologist.
We are not just a museum, we are a full paleontological research facility as well. What's very unique about us is that we are stationed in an area of badlands, so kind of that's an area of really high rates of erosion. And the time that dinosaurs were living, there was a lot of dinosaurs kind of around this part of the world. So a lot of them died here and fossilized here, and we find lots of them here. So it was kind of a perfect place to build a museum like this.
But the town of Drumhella and the birthplace of the Royal Tyrrell Museum only came about by accident. The real reason why people started to come to this area was in search for, well, coal. Cameron White explains more.
Coal mining was really, really big. And through that, Joseph Bertirol, who the museum is named after, was actually working for the Geological Survey of Canada looking for coal in this area and came across the first Albertosaurus skull. So that kind of rolled a bit of the early dinosaur exploration that really happened in this valley when he found that first skull. He stumbled across something and it was just these like really sharp looking teeth that were basically sticking out of the ground. So as they did some more investigation on it, realized it was something more than just rocks and kind of dug it out, and it turned out to be the very first Albertosaurus skull.
That all happened in August of 1884. Joseph Tyrrell wasn't a paleontologist by trade, but he was a great contributor to the discovery of dinosaur fossils during his lifetime. A few decades later, Alberta became known for its rich fossil resources, and paleontologists from the United States and Canada came in droves, eager to claim the finest specimens for their museums. From the period of 1910 to about 1917, later came to be known as the Great Dinosaur Rush. And then it was only in 1985, over 100 years after the first Albertosaurus skull was found, that the Royal Tyrrell Museum opened its doors. And it made sense to name it after the first person to make a dinosaur fossil discovery in the area. And now, this place houses everything you could ever want to learn about dinosaurs. You can hear what dinosaur foot tracks might have sounded like. You can even visit a garden with vegetation from the Cretaceous period when the dinosaurs roamed.
But how did this happen? How does evolution work?
And educational videos cleverly teach everyone passing through the museum bits and pieces about dinosaurs.
It's really exciting. exciting.
Now, even though these exhibits here are displaying artifacts of fossils that are millions and millions of years old, what's in the museum is constantly evolving with every new discovery that's made. Warren Nichols is head of exhibit services here at the museum. He's in charge of building all the exhibits. He tells me about a recent exhibit that's been created in the museum.
The most recent one would be the Devonian Reef exhibit upstairs. We opened it on May long weekend, and it was a renovation of an existing space, but there were a lot of specimens and time periods that were missing from the previous iteration of it. We worked with our in-house designers and the in-house fabricators and basically moved a bunch of walls around, built new cases for everything, and went from, I think we had 20 or 30 specimens, and now there's just over 100, I think, up there. So it's a lot more in-depth and a lot more detailed information.
How does it help improve the experience here?
I hope it does. It fills in a lot of the missing areas, because a lot of our visitors would go through the exhibit before that, which covers the Cambrian time period, and then there were several time periods that weren't really covered very much, and then they hit the Devonian, and that's about 150 million years that we were missing. So now we've actually filled in that 150 million years, so it's
a lot of time.
Yes, it's a lot of time in compared to us. It's a small piece of time in the whole scheme of the museum.
This is one of the richest areas in the world for dinosaur fossils.
That's Graham Christensen, a gallery experience officer here at the museum. He's been working here for 4 years, but dinosaurs is a lifelong passion of his.
I grew up about 4 hours north of here, but I was always coming down here as a kid, and my parents brought me down here when I was 5, and I found my first dinosaur bone bed then. And we came to the museum and brought out one of the paleontologists, and he said, yeah, it's a bone bed, probably from a duckbill dinosaur, but you know, the pieces, they're not very well preserved, and they're kind of scattered around. So he said, you know, you guys collect whatever you like, and you can take it home. So I spent my childhood burying dinosaur fossils in my sandbox and digging them up again and pretending I was a paleontologist. So yeah, I've definitely been passionate about this my whole life.
Graham walks around the museum every day with a bag full of dinosaur fossils, sharing his knowledge and passion with those who are willing to learn about it. He tells us a bit more about a dinosaur tooth that he has in his bag.
Here I have the shed tooth of a large predator we had here in Alberta called Albertosaurus. So it's from the rocks around the museum here, which are part of the Horseshoe Canyon formation. So around the museum here, they date to between about 72 and 70 million years old. So this is how old this Albertosaurus tooth is. And it was actually found among the bones of a partially disarticulated hadrosaur, which is a duckbill dinosaur, type of plant eater. So I think this Albertosaurus was actually munching on the duckbill dinosaur and broke off this tooth and left it behind. And this is something we pretty commonly find among the skeletons of plant-eating dinosaurs, or the shed teeth of meat eaters, which is good for us because we know who was eating whom.
So how old is that tooth again?
Between about 72 and 70 million years old. It's hard to peg down the exact age, but what we can do is we can get an age range by dating volcanic ash layers above and below the fossil. So we use radiometric dating techniques that use the steady radioactive decay of atoms to indicate the age of a fossil.
What's in this one here?
And here, I have another shed tooth from a predatory dinosaur, but this one is from a member of the Dromaeosauridae, or raptor family. So this is a species we had here in Alberta called Dromaeosaurus, and this one comes from a layer of rocks we call the Dinosaur Park Formation, which are a little bit older than the rocks around here. So they're between about 77 and 75 million years old. And the raptors, they're really interesting animals because they're kind of right on the borderline between what we consider to be a dinosaur and what we consider to be a bird. They're very bird-like animals, which theropod dinosaurs, the meat eaters, already are. They have many features in common with birds, like hollow bones and wishbones and walking on three toes. But in addition, the raptors also have their pubic bone is turned backwards. They've got a special bone in their wrist called a semilunate carpal that flexes sideways just like a bird's wing. And they also have a sternal plate. And one of the neat things that's been discovered recently about raptors since the original Jurassic Park movie came out is that they actually had feathered wings. So it looks like some of the early members of the group were small tree-climbing gliders, and some of the later forms like Velociraptor and Deinonychus, they were larger ground-dwelling forms. So they're almost like secondarily flightless. So they were one of the last groups of dinosaurs to branch off before the evolution of powered flight that led to modern birds, which are the only surviving group of dinosaurs.
Not far away from Graham, I meet Katie Strong, a lab technician at the museum. A group of kids gather around here, curiously looking at what she's doing. She's cleaning up a fossil that has been found here in Alberta. As she dusts away the fossil with a fine brush, she tells us more about what she's doing.
Yes, right now I'm working on part of a fossil from a type of hadrosaur, or duck-billed dinosaur. So this is part of the skull of the dinosaur. This one was found in 2016 in Dinosaur Provincial Park, so in southern Alberta.
Not too far from here?
No, so about 2 or 3 hours south of here.
What are you exactly doing right now? Can you just tell our listeners?
So right now I'm just cleaning off some of the rock that's covering up the fossil. So when we find the fossil, we'll try to dig around it and cover it with some plaster and paper towel to help protect it. Then we'll take it out of the ground and bring it back to the museum to do all of the fine detailed cleaning of the fossil.
Dinosaur enthusiast or not, the Royal Tyrrell Museum is like no place other. And it's an easy place to get lost in your imagination of what it was like when the dinosaurs once roamed. For Monocle, in Drumheller, Alberta, Canada, I'm Sheena Rossiter.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Sheena Rossiter for today's episode, and do remember to tune in every week for the full edition of The Urbanist. I'm Tom Edwards. Goodbye, and thanks for listening, city lovers.